Oh yes! We made it, buddy! Commandant, merci! Pino!
Hey man!
Pirello!
I'm gonna take off my jacket.
Yes, yes, yes!
Alright, man.
Whoa!
Well, I'm here! I'm here!
It's raining, huh?
It's raining like cats and dogs.
What is cats and dogs? What do you mean by it's raining like cats and dogs?
It's raining like crazy.
Yeah. Okay, this is...
It's an expression. Yeah, cats in the community, it doesn't work in
French. It's raining. No, that's it. It's raining like cats and dogs.
Yeah, or it's fucking raining.
Welcome to No BS with SB.
Thank you.
I don't know how many times I tried to get you on.
I know.
But you're Mr. Busy.
Yeah, I know. I apologize, man.
No, don't. It's all right. You have a family, you have a life. And have a shitty podcast, you know, see, but you're there.
Yeah.
Listen, when I saw you the first time, I said, oh my God, this guy is a professional from New York, you know?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, I know.
You remember, 2 years?
It's,
you remember? You said 2 years. 2 years, remember?
Yeah, it was two years. At that point, it was 2 years.
Like I said, 2 years, remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Of course I remember, yeah. I remember.
2 years, what? It's, sometimes I will say to myself, you should start before, you know?
Yeah.
But no, life doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't.
Because sometimes people need, it's not a race, it's a marathon. Life is, you know, and because we're going to talk about that, it's why I invite you, but I just want to tease people, like, the talent you have, you know, the charisma, you know, the confidence you have, it's because you take age, you know?
Right.
And you're not 20 years old, so you have a lot of experience, you have a lot of life, VQ, what is VQ?
It's a life... Experience, yeah.
But doesn't mean, like, because you have experience life, you're gonna be funny?
No.
You know?
No.
So it's why I said,
yeah.
2 years? I remember saying, impossible, man. Did you find a pill, Stabarnak? You find a secret path, you know? Did you have a Back to the Future machine?
And what I always say is that, no, man, it took me 38 years of practice before I got on stage, yeah.
Because
36 years, yeah.
But at the same time, no matter how funny you think you are in life, it doesn't mean anything on stage. Time, man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man.
So when did you know that? When did you know you could be a comedian first? Did you do some stuff in the past?
Well, I mean, for a variety show or a talent show in high school, back in, we're going back to...
Not like you can remember, it's too far.
Yeah, well, I believe...
1786. 1786. You're like a vampire, Tabarnak.
No, it wasn't that. Well, I mean, it was long ago. It was in 90, I think I like to say 92, 93.
Okay.
About, and I don't know. I mean, I was already involved at that point, you know, quite a lot in the variety show, but I was doing mainly plays, you know, like just...
Theater?
Yeah, theater. Comedy plays. I was always joking around.
You always knew you're comfortable in that?
Oh, yeah. No, being on stage for me was always like the easiest part.
Really?
It was always the easiest part. You know, like when most people would say, oh, I could write or I could... I could come up with some great ideas or have the confidence to speak to individuals, but then put them in front of an audience, and that's where they become timid. I'm the opposite. Put me in front of a few people or like this and that there.
Kid Kodak.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what is the challenge if it's easy for you?
But it's not that it's that I'm comfortable.
It's make you happy.
It makes me
happy. Because you need attention.
I don't think I need the attention. I'm not somebody that starves for attention.
No.
But I'm somebody who definitely enjoys it.
So do you have a brother and sister?
I do. I have an older sister, yeah.
Okay, so you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest, yeah.
So but why you need attention? Why? Because it's easy to say I'm comfortable, but at the same time, why this art form
attracted me? So before we get to the reason why I did stand-up, I think it's all the reasons or all the components that I had before I even tried stand-up. So I had a family that encouraged my silliness. You know, I'd always be at birthday parties or family dinners, and they would make me imitate my uncle. They would make me imitate my aunt. So I was always encouraged to perform.
Ah, so you're the star of the family.
I'm the funniest person in my family, according to my family.
So because you're cute?
No, I just knew how to make them laugh.
So what's happened? What do you remember when you like
when that yeah. all happened? No,
oh, it's always
been
too
like
much
that.
Love.
It's always
you're the
been,
last one.
Oh, Pino's
you're
funny.
The BB.
Pino's,
yeah. You're the last one. Okay.
Yeah, it was always, so, and it's not that I had.
Maybe you missed that after that.
And I'll tell you. So if you let me talk, I'll explain. So all these components made it that when I went to elementary school, I wasn't, I was very confident to perform. So I was doing plays in elementary school, singing in the choir. And then in high school that continued. And then I went to college and I studied radio and television broadcasting. I wanted to be a broadcaster, and I worked for our local radio station for a few years doing the overnights, you know, technical director.
It's why I always interrupt you, because you go too far. You are already a broadcaster. I want to come back with the kids. Come back to the kids.
Oh, you want me to come back to
yes,
the kids?
Okay, see, we had 1 hour, tabarnak. I see you want to do a 15-minute podcast? It was Pino, guys. You know, so your kids, you know, you need attention. Yeah, yeah. You're the clown of the family.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
your Italian family. Italian yeah. family, you know, it's the best place.
Yeah.
It's always festive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
it's
no,
like French Canadian. We know.
We know how to have a good time.
Exactly.
We know how to have a good time, especially when there's a few drinks involved.
Yeah, but my point is, when you don't know because you're a kid, but did you talk with your family? Like, Why you always put me at the front, you know?
No.
You never talk about that?
No,
with your
we never
mother?
Talked about it. No, it was just something natural. It was just
yeah, man.
It was just something that my family recognized without like recognizing the full potential.
You're not shy.
No, I wasn't shy, and I've always been very observant. So some of the funny...
You're so right. Because I saw your comedy.
Right. So one of the things that my parents used to always worry about was that if I was at an event or at a birthday party or whatever the case may be, and there was somebody with a particular twitch or a particular body type or something that I found to be interesting, I would focus on them and I would stare at them and I would study what it is that they were doing, and my parents would get very uncomfortable because like somebody's gonna notice, what the hell is this kid doing? Like, they always, I don't remember doing this, but I remember
they told you that.
My parents would always, like, you know, talking now as an adult that there was this one individual that was, had a lot of, you know, intricate, as not intricate, but very particular mannerisms in the way that they spoke and the way that they talked and the way that they
so
moved.
You imitate them?
So I would follow this person around all the time. So
can you remember? Can you remember somebody?
I really don't remember.
It's flu?
Yeah, it's like, we're talking about like, I was maybe 4 years old or 5 years old, you know? And then I would go home and imitate them, you know? So, which is... something that I'm not good at doing impressions, but I'm good at if let's say I'm talking about you to somebody else, I'll all of a sudden in a way that you say something, I'll say it, and they're like, oh my god, that's Sebastien, you're right?
Yeah.
So I always did that. I always had that. So I guess, you know, and they would find it funny because Italians, what they do is they love to make fun of people. So especially if it was somebody that everybody else found was pretty interesting or funny in a way, they would always say like, oh, Pino, do the voice, or how does he sit down when he's tired, or your grandfather when he gets mad at your grandmother, how does he scream? And I used to do it.
You never start to be shy.
No.
When he asked you, you already do it.
Oh yeah, I was done. It was
you
done.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, this, yeah absolutely.
This
yeah.
drive always make me surprised me, like, you know, why you're this kind of kids, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
What
right.
is your, what is it, because you need attention, you want to prove something to your mother, your father?
It was never like that,
never.
It had nothing to do with validating my presence, or I had strong
no.
characters in
okay.
my family, and I had to, no, it was just me being me. It was just me.
It's imagine, it's yeah. a gift.
I guess if you want to look at it that way, sure, I guess
it's a gift, because
it's a gift,
it's
yeah.
who you are now.
Yeah, because my mom is a very shy person, mm-hmm. Both of my parents, I would say, are relatively shy until they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm the person that makes people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like I'll open up right away and I'll talk and I'll, you know, I'll,
yeah.
I'll be that glue, you know, type of thing, where my parents would prefer more being in the background, where I perform, or I'm a better version of myself when I'm able to be out there.
But they knew it. They sometimes they just said, okay, I have a friend, okay, who they have a boy.
Mm-hmm.
The boy loved to dance.
Right.
But the father is with his ego, so he will not dance.
Right.
So he put him in a hockey. Right. So why you put him in a hockey game? Right. He doesn't care about hockey. He want to dance. Give him a dance lesson.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you, parents already knew.
They already knew.
They already push you.
Yeah, they push you. They encouraged me. Every single variety show that I did when I was young, they were there. You know, my father's a very serious guy, right? Especially in comparison to me. But he could be very funny when he wants to be funny.
Oh, yeah. Because he's drunk?
Oh, No. Just because he's now comfortable, because he's so shy.
Okay.
But when he's around his friends, see chum, like au travail and stuff, yes. Like he's got this really sarcastic, funny sense of humor. But it's not that he discouraged me. He never discouraged me in doing anything I wanted to do.
Okay,
but he was always like, "Can you be serious for once in a while?"
Oh,
you know, where really? my mom, like, I could make her laugh by doing anything, and my father would always turn around and say, "You always have to laugh at everything he says. It's not that funny." And she's like, "No, it's funny."
He was jealous, man. He was jealous. Yes.
You think so?
Oh yes.
Oh man.
Hey, Italian, come on.
Yeah.
It's not Italian or so.
No, he just wanted. My father always interpreted joking and laughing with you not taking it serious.
Yeah,
you gotta be serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just what my dad is.
Yeah.
So if you're joking around all the time, how can you be serious? And you gotta be good in school. You gotta be serious.
Oh, so what do you want from you? You want to be a doctor?
I think he wanted me to be successful at anything else than being a clown.
Whoa! Bad luck for him, man. Eh?
But now, I mean.
But did he saw you now perform?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So now he changed his mind.
He changed his mind.
Or absolutely. He's still a
No, no, because you know I've done a lot of serious things in my life. You know, that made him know that there is a side of me that can be serious. I guess when I was young, he was just worried I wasn't taking anything serious.
It's
right?
Normal. We don't know who we are.
Exactly.
But what was your response about is the way he was with you when he always said to you, "Can you be serious? Can you did?"
Yeah,
because this sometimes can affect you.
Yeah.
Or sometimes can say, "No, I will not."
Well, no, he never got to a point where around him I couldn't be funny, or if I wanted to be part of some play at school or whatever, that
so never
I would hide
you.
From. No, it never affected me. No, he's pretty chill. I mean, he's a cool guy. I mean, obviously, as I got older, our relationship got better.
Yeah.
When we're younger, of course, you know, you're a teenager, you think you know everything, and my father didn't want to stand for that at all. But it's not like he said, "No, enough with this acting and this joking around." You know, like, but of course, he would have liked if I was better at math.
Did he tell you in the modern era, "My son, you're funny"?
No, I don't think he's ever told me that. But my dad isn't the type of man to tell anybody he loves them either. But you feel it. You know what I mean?
Because he's an Italian.
He's an old school guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's an old school guy, but.
But he saw you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and he laughs and he'll tell me.
But you will never say, you're funny. You're amazing. You're funny.
Because you know why? Because some of the bigger jokes I get are based on him.
Oh. Tabarnak. Right. This is the punch, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
it's why?
Yes. It's why, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe
what is the name of your father?
His name is Antonio, Tony.
Shout out to Tony, okay? Enough is enough. Shout out to Tony, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So did he say, "It's not true what you said about me"?
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like, "That's not me." I'm like, and my mom's in the back saying, "Oh no, that's you, 100%. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So always knew you want to do that. Never thought about to do a comedy.
No, not
at all. Or wrote your own stuff, you know?
No.
So you start to do some class, and time pass.
Yeah.
Did you forget that? in your life? Are you always pursue to be a comedian?
No, I didn't pursue to become a comedian, but I always felt in my heart that I had this, I had to feed this want and desire.
This monster?
Yeah, I wanted to have this out. I wanted an outlet for my creativity, basically.
Yeah, but how did you do that? I never saw you in open mic.
No. No,
why did you practice that?
So this is, I don't know, Seb, I can't answer that question.
It's my point when I said you're a genius.
You know what?
Do you believe what I said?
I'm not a genius by any fucking means. Like, I,
listen,
I'll be
on, listen. If,
but I do recognize.
If I was a manager,
yeah,
you will be in my team.
Okay.
I will book you. I will say you stop your job. And we're gonna make you a star.
Oh, well, I appreciate
it.
When are you starting this manager?
Never. No, that's why I take it. Take it, okay? Because I have a career, tabarnak. But you know what I mean? Because you have you're charismatic, you're very good guy in life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And you're so talented. It's comment on ça, pourri gâté in English.
I'm
ça serait du beau, hein?
Pourri gâté. I'm spoiled in.
You're a waste of time, and you this talent in the garbage, tabarnak.
I'm a waste of time. All right, that's all the time we got. Folks.
No. And don't fuck my decor. No, in a sense of if you stop.
Oh, if I stop? No, I don't ever plan on stopping.
Never.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Do you think you want to push harder, or you like the way you are now?
Seb, I'm in a point in my life where my career professionally outside of stand-up has taken such a big piece of my time that I'm a fair person, you know, and I'm realistic as well. I've got two children, I'm married. Yeah. And I've got a lot of bills that come in at the end of the month, and maybe I'm a little bit frightened, you know. Maybe it's that oh my God, if I just decide to take this on, like how am I gonna continue on sustaining this lifestyle?
No, right? I know, I understand very well.
And so that's what's stopping me from doing the jump, is because I need to figure out how to pay for all the rest of the stuff, or how do I convince my family to let's sell the house and go an apartment? You know, like that's what needs to be done.
You're so right. And it's a question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, but while I'm trying to figure that out, I'm also taking full advantage of the opportunities that I have to do comedy, and when the paying public wants to come and see the shows that I'm part of, or even some of my own shows. I take it just as serious, and yeah. I devote a lot of time in my evenings when I am at home to write stuff, you know. But it's as you know, it's difficult. You can write as much as you want, but if you're not practicing and putting it out there, you don't know how good it is, right? And but I take risks. I take risks, and I know it's funny. And
this is fun. You know what is funny.
I think it's half the job, right?
No, because it doesn't mean it's funny.
No, but I think I'm smart enough to know what the crowds that I tend to perform to, what they like to hear, and the reactions that I get from some of my other jokes, that I know that they like that style, they like that, you know, that style of comedy. So I kind of always try to make it work like that.
And at the same time, like myself, when I found a joke and I wrote, I know it's funny. Okay? I know it's funny. Now I have to sell this joke to the people.
To the people,
but
yeah.
I work like that. Before, I didn't know.
Right.
I did not believe in myself enough, so I just wrote some stupid joke, and I said, it's not funny. I don't think it's funny. Now, if it's funny, if I believe it, I know I'm going to sell well the joke.
Right.
But like you said, you need to practice.
You need to practice.
Let's go for. I want to see. I want to talk about your first show. Remember your first show ever in comedy?
Right. So if I could go back just to make you, to make everybody understand like how this all came to be, was a little bit what we spoke about before, in the sense that I knew I was funny.
Okay.
I had friends that, because I mean, when you're going around, you're practically my whole life. Pino, such a funny guy. Pino's here. Pino's here. Okay, we're gonna have a laugh.
Yes.
Right. So I knew I could be funny. I knew I had a certain way of telling stories that people enjoyed, and that at the end there was gonna be the laugh, right? So I knew how to set things up without even realizing I was doing the setup and the punchline, but I was doing it, right? But then somebody's like, so now we fast forward into life. Now I am not doing anything creative. I'm not doing any show. I'm not doing any plays. I'm not doing any filming. I'm not doing anything. And I'm fed up of, now at this point I'm like in my mid-30s, and I'm fed up of bumping into people I haven't seen in years and say, man, you know, I really thought that you were gonna have your own show one day. Oh, I really thought that you were gonna be on the radio one day, you know? It started to affect me, because before, when I was hearing it, I'm like, yeah, one day. Like, I'm there. Like, I'm almost... Now I'm like 35. Not to say old, but 35, yeah, two yeah. kids, a mortgage, full-time job. Got a neck. When am I gonna do this if I'm gonna do it, right? So, I mean, to make... Not a long story short.
Make a long, long story.
Make a short story long. Okay.
Make a short story long.
Okay.
I'm here for you.
No, I know.
They want you. Look at that. See, they listen to you now.
So I'm trying to forget that that's there.
It's why I don't put mic.
Yeah.
Because imagine that. If we have a mic together, yeah, you will never.
No, I wouldn't have liked
so,
that.
So yeah. Forget that. Just yeah. be me and you. The coffee arrived, man. Don't be scared. Right, no, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So.
35 years old, two kids, mortgage.
Yeah, mortgage. And
what's happened? Wow.
So one day, I get a call from an old friend of mine. His name is Johnny Marico.
Okay? Shout out
to Johnny. So yeah, Johnny plays a big part in this story. Absolutely. If I would have mentioned him, then there would be no Pino the comedian. So Johnny gives me a call after I haven't spoken to this guy in like 13 or 14 years. I swear to God. He reaches out to me on Facebook and says, call me at this number, it's important. Now, we had a mutual friend, me and Johnny, that we met back in college, was Guido Grasso.
Right? Shout out to Guido. He came. Did you know he came?
No.
He came here.
Oh, awesome.
He did very well, man.
Yeah, Guido's an intelligent guy.
No. Yeah. He was a very fun. He was fun. Man. Yeah. Guido Grasso, Tabarnak, was here.
So cool, man. So, yeah. So, Guido.
Yeah.
So, when he tells me, he's got, I got something to tell you, it's important, call me. I was like, Guido died. I'm like, that's the, why did somebody reach out to me?
After 14 years.
After 14 years.
Yeah.
You got to call me, it's important.
Yeah.
But forgetting who Johnny was, it totally made sense. It had nothing to do with something about death, right? So Johnny, I get on the phone. He's like, bro, could you still use a video camera? Because in college I was doing film. And I'm like, yes. But Johnny, before we get to that, how the fuck have you been for the past 14 years? He's like, yeah, we're going to get to that after. So Johnny started up this website that hasn't launched for some reason, for many reasons. But so he was starting this website that was going to concentrate on stand-up comedians. Like make it like sort of like a central hub for stand-up comedians, where agents can go and research and other, like just putting everything like a mini search engine for stand-up comedy, right? Which is also, it's also already in the works. So anybody out there that is looking to try to rip off Johnny, we're going to find you. We're going to break your legs. So,
why?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No. Listen, I'm Italian, but I'm not that Italian.
So yeah, but you know, sometimes we don't know if it's true.
No.
Sometimes when he said, when an Italian said, no, it's a joke, it's not a joke.
Oh, maybe.
Voila. I knew, this is the proof. Maybe this is, no, I'm going to break your leg.
So Johnny tells me that he got media passes to go and film comedians at the Just for Laughs Festival.
Wow.
And this was when, what are we now, 2019?
Yes.
So this was like what, 2015, 2016? Yeah, 2014, 2015, right? So I'm like, he's like, but I need, because I want to do two camera, so I need you to come and help me. Can you do this?
Yes, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
You can relax, because an Italian, when they drink caffeine, he relax.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to make
Merci
me fall asleep.
Beaucoup. Thank you so much. This is the Peroni, man.
Thank you, Peroni.
Thank you so
What's
much.
Your name? What's your name?
Cynthia.
Thank you, Cynthia.
She's amazing.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Did
you put any grappa in here, Cynthia?
No, but if you'd like some, I could ask
them. No, maybe we'll have it straight later on.
The owner,
right?
It's Tony. It's amazing. it gives me the opportunity to come here and do my podcast here. You know what I mean?
That's amazing, man.
You never play here, huh?
I did twice.
Wow, shout out to Ali and Sid.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out to Ali and Sid. Yeah.
It's a good place to do comedy.
I'm sorry. The last time, Seb, to the point of what we were talking about earlier, I don't get many opportunities to practice, right?
Yes.
And we all know the rules of stand-up comedy. When you want to try some jokes, you try them off in the middle. Right?
Yes.
You start off with some stuff that you know is going to be good.
Yeah.
You try some new ones and you end strong.
With killers.
Beto has no fucking time for that. So I go in brand new from top to bottom. And you know what, Seb?
You bomb.
Hard.
No.
I bombed.
Okay, so we're going to go back there later,
we'll
okay?
We'll go back after.
Because
we'll
this is very generous of you for you, from you. Because this is my goal. It's not to point you, haha, you bum. It's to show the people what is the real comedy. You know, people think it's you go on stage and say, no.
Yeah.
It takes time, take year, take struggle, take pain.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
You need attention. It's why I said, you know, why you need so much attention. Mm-hmm. You have a great job. You have a you're a respectable man, people. Why you go there and bum? You know what I mean? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
so, but let's go there. A friend said, man, I have a project with Just for Laughs, and I need your camera. You don't have two cameras.
No, he has two cameras. That's why he's asking me. No, he's got two cameras. He just needs another guy.
Oh, to film.
So could you imagine how many people said no to Johnny before he got to me after? But Johnny's mind works in a special way. He actually did think about me because we
14 years ago.
Yeah, because we worked a lot together back in college, right? So we show up at the Just for Laughs. And
you accept?
I accept. So the reason why I accept, Seb, is that I don't know what it was. I mean, I like to think it was intuition. I like to think it was, I never take days off of work for myself.
So let's go there. Yeah. Let's go there.
Okay.
So, because you know the reason.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what, man? Yes, Johnny, I'm going to come Thursday. I'm going to come and I'm going to spend a day at Just for Laughs and see... See who I meet, see who I could talk to somebody. Because I already at that point, when I would meet up with certain people that I know that were doing something within their talent, I would always ask them, where do you find the time? How do you do it? What were the first steps? Those are always things like that.
But it's funny you say that because you just did. It's opportunity.
It's opportunity.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Did you say to your wife, I will not work today, and I'm gonna go just for that chilling?
Yeah, yeah.
What she said?
She said, why? Exactly. I'm like, I don't know. I want to do it.
You know, for real inside.
At that point, I didn't. I didn't know.
It was like hope. You're the Luke Skywalker, man. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't give myself that much credit. I swear to God, Seb. It was really just...
Yeah, something happened.
I overanalyzed everything. And this time, I said, fuck it, I'm doing it.
Yeah, man, I want to know why.
Why?
You told me.
To be surrounded by creative people.
Yes, you want to know if for the last time before you die in your reality, if you are... No, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a possibility, you don't know, you know what I mean? Meet somebody, you know what, you want to feel maybe for the last time or the first time because you never went to Just for Laughs.
I had not in that capacity.
Exactly.
I had gone to go watch shows, but I never gone
not
behind
a
the
VIP
scene.
Pass. Exactly.
No, exactly. So I said, if I find a comedian that I could talk to and ask some questions, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows, right?
Hope. So you go there.
I go there, and who do we go pick up along the way? It's Guido Grasso.
The guy who's not dead.
The guy who's not dead. Right?
You didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
Because you never saw. I thought you called me because you was dead.
Exactly.
So never I worked so
it
weird.
It never came up.
What a big surprise.
So Guido.
Do you know Guido's a star?
So I had disconnected with Guido for like 10 years at this point.
So at the time, Guido was not starting his career.
No, he hadn't done it.
Wow.
And as far as I was concerned, Guido was still trying to, or working as an
acting.
Actor more than his stand-up.
Yes.
I didn't even know his stand-up
was
existing.
Wow.
So so now, who better to ask and to talk to is...
No. Let's go. No. So I want to know, I want to see when you arrive... Pick up him. This, you know what I mean?
So we go pick up Guido, and I hadn't seen him in like 10 years. I'm super excited to see him because every time I, every moment I had spent with Guido was always a laugh. Was always a laugh, or we were getting into trouble. It was one of the two, right? And I was going to, we were going to pick him up, and he had gone to the Just for Laughs party the night before and got completely trashed, right?
So trash is hangover.
Drunk, yeah, he was drunk. So, and I obviously I didn't know this, right? So here I am expecting Guido to open the door and say, "Holy shit, buddy, what's going on?" He was kind of like, "Hey, P, what's going on? Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to go throw up and I'll be right back."
He said words by words?
Yeah.
Throw up?
Yeah, I'm going to go throw up. I'll be right back. So I'm standing there going, okay.
So welcome to the wall of comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Without even realizing it.
At that point, yeah.
So, we get in the car. And of course, I'm like super excited to be with these two guys I haven't seen in like forever. And
Guido, you feel young, eh?
Yeah, I feel like I was back in college again.
You feel like you don't have kids, no wife anymore, man.
I was like, well, I had a date of myself. Yes. I took it off, and I'm like, you know what? Let's go to
Vegas, baby.
Yeah, let's go to Just for Laughs and film some comedians. Yes. Like, I don't know what the hell to expect, right? So it ended up beautiful experience, by the way. So we
don't close the. Let's continue, man.
Okay,
because it's like you close this day. No,
we're going there, yeah. No, but what I was trying to say is that in the car, I wish there was a million stories because I had a million things I wanted to talk about.
So do it.
But no, but I couldn't talk about anything
because
Guido was hungover. He didn't want to talk about anything. He just wanted to continue on sleeping in the back seat of the car, right?
So the job of the Guido is to interview?
No, Guido also had an all-day pass. He had an all-access event pass. So he was coming regardless, right? So Guido was coming because he needed a ride to... He wasn't participating in any of the of the filming. He was just coming with us to the hotel. And we were going to go and watch... it was Opie and Anthony at the time. They were doing a live podcast.
Yes.
Right? So they were doing their live podcast. So we were going there and watching that. So we had a whole bunch of events planned. And on top of that, Johnny had some comedians to interview.
So he interviewed and you filmed.
And I was filming, exactly.
So when you arrived there, Guido get
yeah, Guido went left. One way. Guido went one way. Me and Johnny went another. We met up during the day. And
okay, so remember the first guy you interviewed?
Oh, man. The first...
Or the guy who you were very impressed?
Man, I wouldn't.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. But,
because
don't
remember. You want answer. You said, I'm going to go there. I need answer.
Yeah.
So did you find answer?
I spoke with Guido after. He was the guy.
After the show?
No, after
when
after
you start to re-drink?
Yeah, exactly.
We start the motor.
Yeah, exactly. Once he started drinking back and started feeling... he was the guy I was going to, because he was the person I was going to feel the most comfortable asking these questions, right? Yeah. And then when I realized how much time these comedians only had to do these interviews for, I couldn't, hey, do you have a minute for me?
Yeah.
You know, I realized real quick I couldn't have done that.
This is your perception, by the way.
Right.
Okay? Because you don't feel you belong there.
Right.
Because if you rethink about that, you could ask easily.
I could have easily. Yeah, absolutely.
But okay, so are you disappointed during this day when you're not able to find answer?
No, not at all, because it was so funny because Johnny is the most he's got a focus. Johnny when he focuses on something, he puts on the blinders, like, you know, like the horse blinders that he puts that on, and he goes he saw a comedian that he wanted to interview that he didn't have on his list. He didn't care who he was talking to. Hey, excuse me, how's it going? I need you. I'm interviewing you. Sit down. He would just bombard them, right?
Attitude.
Yeah, the attitude, right? And that was making Guido completely uncomfortable.
Yeah, but he's not there, you said.
But so at these moments, so during the day, okay. Now Guido would come back in and out,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And every time, and the reason why he was going out, I realized after, is because Guido's there. He wants to rub elbows. He wants to meet people. You know, he wants to be looked as professional. Johnny Mariko's running around with fatigue, army pants, a camera on his shoulder like a madman, and Guido's like, I don't wanna have to do anything with this guy. So I was having a laugh watching these two guys.
So Johnny never interviewed Guido?
No, he wasn't there to interview Guido. He was interviewed
The day passed. Did you stop eating somewhere?
So that's exactly where it happened. So we stopped for, we met up for supper, and Guido was there, and And now I wanted to know this. I wanted to know this story about Guido doing stand-up comedy, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, Guido, I didn't know you were doing this. Talk
yeah,
to
yeah.
me about. And you know, Guido was given the opportunity to do stand-up comedy. A little bit like me, you know, but even more raw because I took a comedy writing class, which I'll get to. And at the time, I just wanted to know, like, Guido, like, how did you even think about doing this? Like, what brought you to that? And he explained to me his story about how he was given an opportunity by another stand-up comedian, Joe Abadi.
Yeah.
What's up, Joe Abadi?
Shut up.
To tour.
Imagine.
Yeah.
We talk about that. You watch that my podcast with
yeah,
Guido. It was amazing.
So you know, Guido toured the world with Joe, and,
yeah.
and now he was starting to make his way into the stand-up comedy world after, you know, that beautiful experience. He had to try to figure out
yeah.
how to do that. So I was like, okay, so if I wanted to, because this was the thing, right? Everybody was telling me while I was growing up, and even Guido that day said, you know, Pino, I do stand-up comedy and people find me funny, but still our common friends still bug him and say, yeah, you're funny, but Pino's funnier than you.
Whoa.
Right? So he would always, so he was like, so for them to be saying that, there's something there. So I said, Guido, I know I could be funny with me and you. I know I could be funny in a group. We go out for a drink and whatever. I could be funny. I could be the guy that's going to make everybody laugh. But to go on stage and now people are sitting there and say, okay, now be funny. It's a completely different animal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the part I said, I don't even know how to write jokes. I don't know how to write jokes. I don't know how to, I just say a story. Oh, you want to know what happened to me at work today? And I'll say the story and people would be laughing because I would bring them to the detail of the person, right? I would say the guy sitting at his desk, he had four pencils, one was purple. I noticed it was purple because he had a, like, I would just break it down. No, I'm good.
Yeah,
I would just break it down to, like, and people, I know how to get people's attention,
yes.
right? And my job, my 9-to-5 job, I present my company on a daily basis. So to get up in front of a group of people and present, it's very natural for me.
Yeah.
And I always made them laugh, even those people. But they weren't expecting to be.
Yeah. It's a bonus.
It's just a bonus, right? It's
a
just
bonus,
a way.
Yeah.
It was a way to make people feel comfortable, right?
So with the energy, because you show me now
yeah.
with the coffee and
yeah.
the attitude you have at the time,
right?
To show, you know what I mean?
Right.
So he's hangover.
Yeah.
So he's you disturb him. Though.
Yeah, and Guido's the type
you know
of guy.
I mean?
Guido feels like he should never be giving anybody any advice.
Exactly.
But Guido is somebody who's lived a lot more than most people I know in his short life, and he should be giving a lot more advice. He's a very smart guy. So he's like, well, if writing comedy is what is holding you back, then take Joey Elias's
class. Oui.
So I was like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. He's like, yeah, I don't know when he does it, once or twice a year. He had done it, Guido had done it. I think Guido even had done it twice. And he's like, do it. So I was like, yeah, okay, no problem. So I get in there.
So you found the answer, but you're not...
I'm not convinced.
Yeah,
like, I'm not
why?
Convinced.
Why?
Because it wasn't stand-up comedy I was looking for. I was looking to maybe write a play with him.
Exactly.
Or maybe write some comedy for him. Or I had some stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to have one day a week
where
I could just
just
be with
and do
creative people.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah. So
and it's not to say that the friends that I had are not creative. I have musicians as friends. But it was more that outlet for theater, for comedy, but not stand-up comedy.
So did you feel he helped you at the time?
Oh, no. At that moment, no.
Okay.
At that moment, no. But when I got in the car that day, leaving the Just for Laughs, I called up my wife to let her know I was on my way home. And she asked me, so, you know, how was your day? And I told her about it. And I told her about the stand-up comedy class. And we already had spoken about this inner ball that needed to come out, you know? She's like, do it. What are you waiting for? Like, just do it. It's quite a problem, you know? It's like one night a week, I think it was.
Yeah.
Two nights a week. Was it two nights or one night a week? I don't remember. I think it was two nights, Tuesday and Thursdays or something like that. Yeah, because it was 10 classes for 5 weeks or something like that. Or 8 classes. Anyways, I don't remember. But it was a short amount of time. And I did it. And I as soon as I... as soon as I got home that afternoon, I wrote Joey Elias an email, and that was, this was Just for Laughs happens in July, and his writing class was starting in September, I believe. So he goes, yeah, the next one's in September. If you like, I'll sign you up. I'm like, yeah, sign you up, right? So I started doing those classes. I started doing the classes.
So what is your feeling for?
Oh, I was super excited.
August, September, you know?
Oh, I was super excited. I was looking forward to writing. I was getting prepared.
So you annoyed your wife?
Oh yeah. I was writing. So basically, what I did was because I asked Guido, you know, I wanted like some cheat sheets.
Oh, and then
you
call him up.
I was calling him up all the time. Right? I was like, Guido.
I'm sure he said in his what a mistake I did.
What this guy? What is
oh,
he want?
Oh my God! I should bring him at my show. He bombed, and we never talk about that anymore.
We never talk about it again. Yeah, exactly. I should have just said, no, next week you're on, right? So I wanted like everything else in life with Pito. I need a menu. I need to before walking into a restaurant, you know, I have the menu outside before deciding to go in.
Yeah, yeah.
I want that in every aspect of my life. I want to be able to.
But this is funny, eh?
Yeah. Well,
do you do that on the show?
No, I never.
It's funny, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Funny.
The way you are, this is observation.
Yeah.
Not many people do that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Otis tick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I need to have, like, okay, before I do this, okay, all the antipasto, you know, it's going to take 3 weeks before you find. No, that's not for me. I'm out of here, right? Like, that's just the way.
So, did you buy some pen and book
to
wrote your new joke? Are you methodic? You know what I mean?
I'm not so methodical like that.
No, did you buy some stuff to
do? Because
you go to school.
I did buy myself a new notepad. I did.
You made lunch? You make a small lunch?
No, I didn't make a small lunch.
No, okay.
But I did buy a notepad. And the one thing Guido told me is, like, all the stories that people ask you to repeat, not that you said a story once. It's those stories where people say, oh, PP, tell me that story again about that time you
wrote that.
It's just write those stories down, right? So I wrote all the stories. And then I was ready for this. I thought, you know, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk into this class. I already have my stand-up comedy. I'm like, I'm going to ace this exam. Like, who's going to touch me in this class, right? So I get to the comedy writing class. And like one of the first assignments was, okay, like, you know, he asked you like a list of questions. Okay, now I need you to write me a joke, 15 words and under. But my joke is 10 pages. And he's like, well, then that's not a good joke.
You said 15 pages.
yeah, exactly.
Not 15 words.
The 15 words or less. Yeah, you got to do the set. So I didn't know about setup and
but, punch, right? But at the same time, you still use 10 page now.
Oh yeah.
You liked me too. I don't. I'm not a punch.
Set up in a punchline.
I'm a storyteller.
I'm a little bit of a. I still kept it, but obviously, I mean, I could talk.
Yeah, because inside your storyteller, you can punch there.
Exactly.
This is what you learn with that.
And that's what I. And that's exactly what I.
So who was? Remember who was there?
So some of the people that were in the class that are still doing comedy today, or at least one of the ones that I remember is Lawrence Colbert.
Lawrence Colbert. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Lawrence Colbert.
Yeah, what's up, Lawrence? Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Lawrence, we were in the same class. I think that's it, man.
Of 10, only one continue to do comedy.
As far as no, there's also. You know what, man? I, with the risk of
saying the wrong names,
and stuff, because I do have a bad memory when it comes to names.
Okay, no, but did you make easy friend like that? It was friendly there.
It was pretty friendly, and you know, we had to work with some, you know, people and help each other out. And
but did you put already your mark? Like, I'm funny, look at me. Did you?
No. See, like, I'm like in back of the class, type of thing. I didn't try to oversell myself.
Okay.
If anything, I think that ended up helping me, because the way the class is structured is that you work on some jokes like for a couple of weeks, And then, like, after 2 or 3 weeks, you jump on, like, stage in front of the class.
Yeah, the big show.
Yeah, for the first time, right?
Way.
Well, it wasn't the big show. It was more like practice.
It was at the Nest.
And, so the class was happening at the Nest. And the last class, after 8 weeks, you perform the 5 minutes that you worked on for 8 weeks. You perform it.
At the Nest.
At the Nest, right? And...
Did you invite your wife?
I think there was like maybe 20 of my friends there that night.
Mother, father?
No, my parents weren't in town. My parents weren't in town.
So
there.
But your wife is there.
My wife was there. I believe my sister, my brother-in-law were there. All the people that because what I wanted to get at is that I almost wanted to prove to myself and to them that I am not a stand-up comedian.
Really?
That I am a funny guy who could be super funny in Friends.
But not on stage.
But to go upstage and be funny on demand was something, not that I wanted to prove to them, but it's something that I needed to try for myself. And at the same time, show them that, see, it's not that easy. Just because Pino's funny doesn't mean he's a stand-up comedian.
It's a little bit tough to understand what you just said.
Yeah.
You want to prove to the people that you're not funny on stage.
That I'm not a stand-up comedian. Yeah,
it's a little bit with me. I did that, but at the 281, the stripper, and they all believe me. Look, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's crazy. But you made a big mistake.
And it's not because you can't dance, because
I can. Yeah, I can dance. I have tits, man. Come on. No, man, you prove wrong, huh? You did well, huh?
I did super good.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did super good.
So it's weird.
Yeah.
Is it?
But I knew.
Go. Is it because to remove the stress to yourself, you pretend to act like that? Because if you said, you know what, I'm going to prove you it's not for me.
No, but I was saying that subconsciously. And it was,
oh,
wasn't saying
not
that
to them. Loudly.
No. I was kind of like.
It's my point. So yeah. This is a proof.
Yeah.
To not panic.
Exactly.
Okay, so
exactly.
Why you are in the lineup?
I was second.
Fuck.
I was second. In the
do you like it?
I wanted to be first.
You want to be first.
I wanted to be first.
So it can be done fast as possible.
Yeah, I wanted to...
Second is not bad.
Second wasn't bad.
When you want to be first, then?
Yeah.
It's not bad. So yeah. Joe Elias host?
No, it was Chris Vendito. Chris Vendito hosted.
What's up, Chris?
Yeah.
So when he say your name, the first one, do you remember the first one?
No, I don't. I don't, but it was funny though. I remember it was funny.
Okay, do you remember the crowd laugh?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you do the 100 foot?
Oh, yeah.
That? Did you drink before?
600 gallons of piss later. Like, I couldn't stop peeing. I couldn't stop peeing.
Drink? Did you drink?
Alcohol?
Yeah.
I think I had a beer. I couldn't even drink. I was so nervous I couldn't drink. I couldn't eat. I didn't drink or eat that day at all. At all.
Okay, so...
At all.
So okay, so the yeah, you're right. I forgot the day. So did you sleep well the day before?
No.
So when you wake up, did you?
I was super stressed.
Did you ask yourself why did that?
I took 3 showers that day.
This is gonna be my video to invite people to watch your full podcast.
Right.
I watched 3 times a day.
I took three,
to jerk off?
No, I took 3 showers a day because I couldn't find any time alone. I couldn't find any time alone.
Yeah.
So I would go in the shower.
Cold?
No, it was hot. And I would do my 5 minutes in the shower. I would just do it in the shower.
Wow.
I did it 3 times that day.
Man, merci. Yeah. So this is why I do a podcast, man. Yeah. To feel, you know, because me, I'm so alone in my job, you know what I mean?
Right.
And now I can feel like I'm not the only, I'm not stupid.
No.
You know, it's something. Because you know what? This is why you're still a comedian. You know what I mean? Because you want... Nobody practice in the shower 3 times if you don't care.
No, absolutely
you
not.
You know what
no,
I mean?
Absolutely not. Because, like I said, now at this point...
You smell good this day.
But
I mean, where's the shampoo?
I don't know.
You finish it?
I smell good, but I was super wrinkled.
Wow. And, well, so what is the best set? In the 3 times, remember?
It was so overly practiced, man.
Yeah,
I mean, it was so overly thought of, and even my laugh, I was like, you know.
So when you have a blank in your, on stage, you remember the shower. Is it after or before I did that?
Honestly, I could have been like maybe a brain capacity. I could have been at 10-15% brain capacity, which would only be about 10% more than I currently have. And 10% less, I should say, than I currently have. And I could have probably said that bit. I could have said those 5 minutes for how much I practiced and that timing.
So you're impatient this day with everybody.
Oh, I was, yeah, super, super. Yeah, and that last, that my.
It's why you went to the shower.
Yeah, because even if I was going downstairs in the basement, I was hearing the kids talking and my wife screaming at them. And it was just, so I would go in the shower, turn the shower on. And just be in the shower,
right? But this is the reason why we put so much energy for so much, because this you're not on stage. It's tonight.
Yeah.
Now it's afternoon, and you act like it's now, but because the brain is so negative, it takes you so much energy for 5 minutes on your day.
And that's what people,
will never understand.
They'll never understand.
Until they take a shower.
exactly. And what's frustrating, and I'm sure, Seb, you could agree with me on this, is that when we're hired to do some events, some big events, you know, and they're asking us for how much we would like our compensation to be, and then they're trying to negotiate you down to almost nothing.
Yeah.
They don't realize, they just see the amount of time that you're on stage, right?
They don't
realize how much work is put into that time on stage. Yeah. What you do to prepare for that day, what your day is like the day that you're performing.
The pain you wrote a killer 45 minutes.
Yeah.
A guy called me. He said, I have $200 for 1 hour. I said, are you stupid, man?
Yeah.
He said, I'm a comptable, you know? I would love to do $200 an hour. I said, fuck you, man. You compare me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, no, I can switch my job with you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Good luck.
No, exactly.
Good luck to do 45 kilo on stage. Me, I'm going to wrote some number on your paper.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could Google your mathematical equation.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
The time lapse of how you're stupid to tell me that you $300 an hour.
You're paying for the hours of work and experience that you put into that.
Yeah, stuff. Man. But just can... I want to maladie mentale, I always said that, maladie mentale.
The mental
illness.
Yeah, mental illness, yeah. The mental, what is it that you're trying
about
to say?
About you create. It's not normal to take 3 showers.
No, no, no.
It's not normal that your kid disturb you.
No.
For something, for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you don't know at the time, you knew after the reward.
Yeah.
The reason why you still continue.
Yeah.
For all the stress and the poison,
right?
For the laugh you're gonna get. Yeah. Look, I have goosebumps, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man.
So go back there.
Yeah, okay, so
go back there.
Because the reason why I was stressing out, because, I mean, if you remember what I was saying, I kind of went into it not really wanting much out of it, just to say that, you know what? If this is going to be the only 5 minutes I'll ever get in my life, well, at least I could say I tried.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I tried.
At least nobody could hold that. I can't hold that against myself. You know what I'm saying?
And you already prepare so your friends can say, you're funny in life, but not on stage. You already prepare yourself like that.
But then, you know, come week 6 and 7, when those 5 minutes are pretty much, baked, as they say, or like it's settled, and I know I got something funny here because I could see it, I could visualize what it's gonna look like on stage.
Yeah.
Well, now I fucking want to do good. Yeah. Now it's no more. I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah.
Now I want to do it, and I want to fucking kill it.
You're proud.
Yeah.
You're Italian.
Exactly.
You're born like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And after that, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So go back there. It's the first one. You remember it, people laugh. You do the 100 foot, you walk
exactly.
like that. You take maybe, you can't drink.
No, I can't eat,
Do you know where's your people? If you're on stage,
No, I don't see them.
So it's jam-packed.
It's jammed.
Do your wife do the same mistake that all the girlfriend, like, Are you stressed? Are you all right? I will be stressed for you. Like, they want to encourage you, but it's the worst advice they told you, you know?
Yeah,
no, or you said, don't talk to me for when we were there.
You know, I'm sure she tried to give me some words of encouragement. Okay. But that day, it was like as if I had ringing in my
Walder.
Ears. Yeah, I just...
Okay, exactly.
So, she was probably saying all the right things. I wasn't really paying attention, but...
So you go there.
I go there.
They say your name.
They say my
name. When they say your name, remember the feeling to go on stage?
Yeah, of course, man.
Let's do it. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, of course. That's, you know, I said it. I said, fuck it. Like as soon as they, and I've been saying fuck it before every time I got on stage.
Imagine, because the subconscious is strong. So if you went there and said, I'm going to bomb, you will bomb.
Oh, yeah.
But you said, fuck it.
Fuck it, man.
An angel arrived and said, have fun.
Just do it, man.
Nobody can be better anyway there than you.
Nobody has
the guts.
99% of the people, or even more, 99.9% of the people, or 100% of the people in that crowd would never come up on stage.
No.
So whether this is going to be good or bad, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So fuck it.
Fuck it. You say that. And you say fuck it.
As soon as I say it, you know, every time I hear, okay, and here comes your next comedian, Pito Perillo. I always say, fuck it. Let's go.
Wow.
Yeah.
This could be your next title of your one-man show.
Fuck it?
Fuck it.
Well, it was the title of my first
book. in Italian, what is fuck it in Italian?
I don't know if you could say it. Not that we can't say it. Fuck it in Italian would be... Baffanculo.
Okay. So you walk.
I walk on.
You went on stage.
Yeah.
You took the mic.
No, you did not touch the mic. I was touching. I was holding it like this.
Oh.
I was like this, like holding. Like I felt that if I was gonna let go of that mic, I was just gonna like fall off the stage.
And it's not the Pino anymore, right?
No.
The struggle.
Absolutely.
Wow, okay. So you don't want to show to the people you stress.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
When you arrive on stage, you have the big, big, big light.
Yeah.
But
the light that was going to frighten me the most was that goddamn red light. That was the light I was scared of.
Yes.
Because the spotlight, I was used to it from high school.
Yes.
And being in the spotlight presentations at work, even though that light is not there, everyone's focused on you. I was okay with that. It was making the time that was also very stressful for me.
Okay,
right?
Because it was important to not go too much.
Yeah, you get the light at 4 minutes and then you get the flash at 5, right? So and then you're done.
So let's go. Let's go. And
so
when you are, did you freeze?
No, at all, man. At all. I went in and
you feel another energy never arrive.
Yeah, another energy came out and my timing was. How can I say? So what happened was, right off the bat, within the first 30 seconds...
You mean one of the shower, not the bat.
right out of the shower, I not that I messed up the setup to the joke, but I paid attention, I believe, to something that somebody had said, and that threw me off. That threw me off, right? Because I was supposed to start with this, and now they laughed at that little interaction. I can't remember what it was. It was kind of like, okay, thanks, bro. Like, something as silly as that. Like, the guy was like, woo! And I was like, okay, thanks, bro. And we, ha, 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 they laughed. And then, like, I was thrown off, but like, you're not supposed to laugh now. I didn't even say a joke, and they laughed.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to talk to him, too.
And Seb, I don't want to say this to make myself sound like anything else than the truth. I'm telling you the truth. At that moment when I said it, I was like, just say it. Just talk. Never mind. Just talk.
Wow.
Just do it like that. Be Pino.
Wow.
Be Pino. And the character that I had created in my head, or the character I wanted to come out, which tends to be most of the time on stage, is the Pino at the bar that I used to hang out with when I was young.
Oh, tabarnak.
That guy...
Everything arrived there.
Yeah, everything arrived.
Just be that guy
who's loose. Just fucking
wow.
Right. So even though I wasn't that loose and I was like this,
yeah.
I still talked in the tone that I wanted to talk. I didn't want to. So my grandma and 5 minutes, obviously, as you know, like
it's so fast.
It went by so fast. I got it done.
No, it's so fast, but it's so long too if you bomb, you know?
If you bomb, and I did it.
Man, so when you say that to yourself, be the Pino at the bar,
yeah.
What's happened?
It was magical.
all magical. I'm not there.
Oh, it was like I felt at home. I felt at ease.
People
laugh. They got it. I was, you know, because you worry, like, are they gonna get that joke? Like,
and don't forget, they're cold. You're second.
I'm second. Yeah, exactly. So second. And but what was encouraging was that during the class, during the courses that I was taking, you were getting those words of encouragement from Joey.
Yes.
And him telling you, like, oh, that's funny. Or yeah, listen, man, you're a natural. You got this. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
So, like, when you start hearing that, you start believing it too, right? And that's when I said, you know what? Now I just really need to do well so that... I want Joey to be proud. Like, you know, I want him.
And your wife is there.
My wife is there, but even more so, I wanted.
No, you spend so many time in the shower. She wants to see the results.
I burned the whole tank of hot water.
Exactly.
That costed us already $150 to warm it up, right?
So for you, you're happy.
I was happy.
Did you see the red light?
I saw the red light, and I had my 45 seconds left for the red light, so I knew I was gonna not go over.
And you know the joke,
I knew where I was going. I was going to end it, and I ended it. Ended it with a good...
Did you say, my name is Pino? What did you say at the end? Did you, you know,
I think I say the same thing. And now that you mention it, I don't really remember, but I think I probably say the same thing that I always do. And it's just... And it's not, and you know what's funny, Seb? I never think about what to say at the end. Like, I never wrote it down, and this is how I end all my... Like, some comedians have that always that nice little sign-off that they do. But my sign off came on naturally. I always say thank you and I love you. That's what I say. Thank you and I love you so much. Because I love being there. I love that they took the time to come and see me and the other comedians and they had a good time. So thank you, man. I love it.
So you get out of the stage.
I get off.
What's
happening? Nothing was gonna stop me that night.
Yeah.
I was on top of the world.
Yeah.
Nothing was gonna stop me. I felt like
Who do you saw first arrive?
Guido Grasso.
He was there.
He came.
Whoa. Guido came
and he said to me, he's like, okay, that was okay.
So for an Italian, it's like in French, amazing.
No,
amazing.
No. I was
because
now I'm like riding this wave, and I thought I was like the shit because. You know, I knew I did well.
I mean, you have to take it.
Right.
It's so rare.
Right, exactly. I knew I did well.
So why he arrived and he dumbed like, down your pleasure?
Because he knew I could have done better.
Yeah, but it's now. Like,
yeah, but Guido's crazy like that.
I know, but you should say good job.
So
he said, okay.
So this is how Guido told me good job.
Okay.
Guido's like, okay.
I saw him.
Yeah. Okay. That was okay. No, funny. No, it was funny. Pino, it was funny. Okay. So in two weeks, I got a show.
No.
And I need for you to open up.
Whoa.
You gotta come up with 15 minutes.
Whoa.
So I'm like, Guido, it took 2 weeks. I said, Guido, it took me 8 weeks to come up with
five.
With five, I gotta come up with 10 more minutes for your show. He's like, no, 15 minutes. I don't want you to do any of the minutes of what you just did because that sucked.
Fuck, what a friend.
Yeah, I go like, that sucked? He's like, listen, he goes, the people liked it. He goes, but...
It's not you.
I know you can do better.
Yeah, but you calm down.
It's but this is Guido pushed me.
I know.
Guido pushed me from day one.
So, no, did you see your wife at the same time?
Yeah, I saw it, of course. Yeah,
so she's your like wife super excited. Said, well, she's did super you have a great excited. Night?
And then you got my Italian cousins that come and say, the rest of them, they suck, bro. You're the fucking best. The rest of them, they suck. If I was them, I would quit right now.
Oh, wow. Did your wife invite you to the shower at that night?
No, but I was clean already. Super clean.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she went straight to bed. Nothing happened then.
Oh, it's so sad, man. You deserve it.
I know I deserve it.
You deserve it.
I fucking deserve
it. Yeah.
I deserve everything.
Yes.
Every inch. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be you, babe.
No.
So
what's happened with
edit?
No, it's a thing. It's raw. Not perfect raw.
Yeah.
So,
like the sex I have. It's not perfect.
Exactly.
It's raw.
Exactly.
And it's raw. But it doesn't last an hour.
But you did not sleep right away, huh?
Oh, no.
Impossible.
I didn't sleep at all, man.
You remember what time you sleep? 3 a.m.?
Oh, easy.
Because you want to keep that.
And
so you
and
go back in the
that's
shower
when I realized
to realize that?
That's when I realized the true power of social media.
Ah.
Because before that, Facebook didn't mean much to me.
Okay.
Sharing this and that. But my wife had taken a picture. She posted it online. My husband did stand up for the first time and people went.
So this was your blowjob?
That was my blowjob, yeah.
But on, it was on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
It was, you know,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, say, honey, I love you.
Yeah, but I need.
On Facebook. Yeah, so she sent you a picture of you.
Yeah,
so
she took a picture, she shared it, and like the outpour of people that I, you know, I haven't spoken to or seen in years that saying, you know,
I knew
you were going to do this. Yeah. I always knew it. I'm so happy. Wow. When's the next show? Wow. Blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, the next show is in 2 weeks with Guido, and I had to write this shit, right? So Guido's advice to me, which I still take today, is, you know, you got to make yourself and challenge yourself, make yourself feel uncomfortable every chance you get, right? So,
and comedy, it's easy.
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, you know, like, he's like, you know, you gotta let go of that mic. You know, next time, just let go of your hands. Try to say, next show I do, I'm gonna let go of my hands. Then the show after that, maybe take the mic out and leave the mic stand next to you.
Yeah.
Maybe the show after that, put the mic stand in the back. And that's what I started doing. Every show, I would just challenge.
So where did you go to? Where did you practice?
Oh, I practiced a lot of open mics.
Where?
I was doing a lot of Yuck Yucks. I was doing open mics at Yuck Yucks. I did a few at the Comedy Nest.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And but you know, and so I was doing that a little bit at the beginning. Not a lot. Not as much as I wanted to, because again,
you have
life.
But. The show of Guido is in a theater.
No, it wasn't in a theater.
It was where?
It was in a cafe. It was in a cafe.
Okay, so you're not too much.
I wasn't too far off. Because
I thought it was in a theater.
Because of the Comedy Nest that night there must have been 60-70 people the night that I did my first 5 minutes, and then Guido's show 2 weeks later was about the same amount.
You did 15.
I had done 15.
New.
Like never.
But it was you.
It was me.
So how did you find the 15 minute and to be comfortable to go there?
Well, I worked a lot with Guido.
Okay, he helped you.
He helped me a lot, like especially in shortening down the stories.
So it's your mentor.
Oh yeah, Guido's definitely my mentor. Yeah, 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 absolutely.
So it's fun because he starts with a strike. You know, hangover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the timing was not there, but it was later.
Listen, man, me and Guido came into each other's lives for specific reasons, and one of them was comedy, like for me.
Did I see a picture of you and him when you're younger and you have hair?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's
amazing.
Yeah. Life, it's two different worlds.
Oh yeah, two different people too. Yeah,
life always, you know.
You never know. You never know. And we became, we always had a special connection, me and Guido. Even though it was friends that it was his friends I was friends with. But when we would hang out and he would happen to come, we would end up always spending time together, right? And then once we found each other again, 13, 14 years later, well, I think, I don't think a week goes by that we don't at least talk to each other. You know what I mean?
So what is your best show ever? Remember? Is it with Guido?
Yeah, I would say some of my best shows have been with Guido. I think my best show to date that I still like look back on it and say, yeah, man, that was.
I will always do that show again and again.
Was last year when I performed at the Laval Laugh Festival.
Festival in Laval.
En Rire, which I'm doing the ethnic show this Thursday and Sunday.
Okay.
But last year I did the show. The title of the show was After You Say Yes to the Dress. So everything after marriage.
Okay.
So whether it's divorce, marriage, kids. And everything after that, I did 20 minutes, I believe, 15, 20 minutes, and it was magical. It was magical 15 minutes. It was just...
Front of where? It was a theater?
Yeah, yeah, it was at Le Cabaret Scene.
Okay. How many people there?
Oh, I think there was 150 people.
Okay.
I think, yeah, at least 150 people. And
and it's fun because now you have credit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You do the beautiful festival in Laval.
Yeah, and they call
Do you live in Laval?
No, I live in Repentigny.
Okay. Yeah. And but me, I'm fascinating how you learn fast, you know, how
right.
how you okay, it's like that. Okay, it's gonna be like that. You know.
Yeah.
Because I play 10 times with you.
Yeah.
You never bomb.
No.
Never bombed about that. You know what I mean? Never said, nah, yeah. This time was okay, you know? I don't understand. Magical of your pen.
I was hoping
what kind of pen you use?
I was hoping you were going to tell me. Seth. I don't know, man. I don't see. I don't even break it down to that. I guess I'm so disconnected from, you know, the day-to-day comedy and what that world is that I don't even, like, realize that. I don't think of that. I'm taking time away from my family. I'm taking time away from, you know, I'm super stressed at work. I have no time. And here I am at this show. I don't need this extra stress. So I want to have a good time too. So I guess that's why people enjoy it, is because I am having just as much fun as they are. And maybe that.
So are you telling me that if you put 100% of your comedy, you will be more funny, tabarnak?
I know. I'm worried that if I would do 100% of my comedy, I'd fucking be worse. I wouldn't be as good.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know.
So what continues to motivate you? Is it to not stay in your routine in life?
I love the challenge.
Yeah.
I love the challenge. That's for sure. I always tell myself, why the fuck are you doing this?
Still an imposter?
I'm still like, why am I?
Really?
Why am I doing it? I don't need this extra stress.
But everybody want to work with you.
I know.
You think they're all fake?
No.
You think I fake when I said you're amazing?
No, at all. I'm talking about the stress of doing the show. Why do I need this?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you something, you know, to play every month or every 2 weeks, for me, it's impossible. It's too much stress. Mm-hmm. I need to broke the ego, you know, and
yeah.
I need to go on stage and I don't care. But to do that, I need to bomb 10 times before. So when I do a corporate, yeah. Because corporate is not easy, though.
I know, but
it sounds easy.
It's almost all I do. And sometimes
I know. They don't piss off the other comic. But no. This guy always do the cream of the crop, you know?
I know.
It's not easy, by the way. Huh? It's another responsibility.
You're right.
Because to play front people who pay $60 to $100,
yeah,
they have expectation.
Absolutely.
At the same time, they are ready to listen.
Yes.
It's not like a comedy club where sometimes they don't care and they don't pay.
They're almost to judge you.
Yeah, like that make me laugh, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And but it's just that what keeps me going back is meeting the people after the show. You're always gonna get that one person, Seven. I know you heard it a million times. Hey, man, you really made me forget all my bullshit that I had, and I needed to laugh, and you made me laugh.
Yeah,
that's it, man. What more do you want than that?
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
No, you're right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, like saying, like I took this guy out of his regular life.
Yeah.
Brought him back to a time like when I'm talking about when I was a kid and what it was like to laughing about himself, about his family, about his current situation, and forget about all his problems.
Wow.
I mean,
so you can't stop?
No.
What is your next challenge for you?
I'm doing my Valentine's Day show. It's my show. So I'll be probably doing 45 minutes to an hour.
So you're going to be the headliner?
I'm going to be the headliner. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to do it for myself.
Why Valentine's Day?
Because I want to make it a theme. The name of the show is kind of a love story. So it's a love story of not only about...
Of your experience of life?
Life, of comedy, of my family, my parents, my kids, my car, my work.
Wow, so you're going to do 1 hour, your one-man show?
Yeah.
Are you scared? Because you said, I'm going to do 40. You're going to do it, your one-man show.
Yeah, I'm going to do my
Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day, February 14th. Yeah.
Are you pumped?
I'm super pumped.
Hey.
Man. Yeah, I actually was announced yesterday. I shared it yesterday.
Wow.
And
so the title, fuck it?
No, the title is kind of a love story.
Yeah.
But
fuck it, it's
what usually
everybody do that at Valentine's Day.
I hope so.
They try, or
they say fuck it, I'm staying home.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about
this.
That
is a big challenge.
We sold about bought like 35 tickets like within the first hour.
Okay. What is the main goal? What, how many tickets you want to sell?
We're going to be we're starting off with one show. It's about 160 tickets. It's in the Comedy Lounge at the Da Vinci Center.
Where I, Jenny.
Jenny, thank you very much.
Shout out to Jenny, yeah. The sheriff in town.
Yeah, exactly.
And Saint-Léonard. It's a great room, eh?
Awesome. Oh. Awesome room. Oh. Awesome.
Is it expensive to rent that?
No, man.
No, okay, not because maybe I'm, I want to do my show there. Yeah. Because the other one is so expensive, the biggest one.
The big one is, and it's expensive, and I mean, it comes with a big.
It's 500 seats.
It's 533 seats.
I heard they have another one upstairs.
It's a smaller room, yeah. It's a smaller room. Yeah, I think the one downstairs is a better room. Okay. The governor's, ball, yeah.
So, one man show there, 160 ticket.
160.
How much it is?
The tickets right now pre-sale, they're 35. And then after, once the pre-sale, that's only on for the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Then it's $40.
$40?
Yeah.
So, when did you make the decision to say it's time for me to do my 1 hour?
It's my second one, actually.
Oh.
About 2 years ago, I did my first one.
Really?
Yeah, I did my first one, yeah.
2 years ago, when I said 2 years ago, you're amazing?
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I took your words very seriously.
I don't believe you.
It was something else that I wanted to test myself with, right? And I needed to force myself to write.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've written so much, and you know how it is, you write so much, and then jokes get eliminated because they're either not that good, or they've evolved, and then pieces of it come off, and you kind of can it.
Yeah.
And so I know I had, at that point, I know I had like 20, 25 solid minutes, right? But I wanted to double that, so that if ever I do, you know, more shows, or when I do more shows, I could break that up to 10 minutes, 20 minutes, to mix it up, you know, so I wanted, so challenge myself. Announce a show, and then you have no choice but to write.
Like I said, I'm if I'm a comedian, it's because in general in life, I'm lazy.
Right.
It's weird because I'm a work addict.
Yeah.
Lazy.
Yeah. You're procrastinating.
I don't want to work for someone else.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the 9 to 5 to nothing and pretend and say thanks to somebody who gave me my pay, who I deserve it. You know what I mean? it's why I'm a comedian. Right. I know the stress is not the same, but when I put an X on my calendar, I know after that everything's gonna open, you know?
Yeah.
If I don't have something, I need always a goal.
Absolutely.
Push myself, you know?
Exactly.
So this is amazing, man. Wow, what a great story. Are you happy?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Man, what a great story.
Yeah.
So generous. Last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Expo are back?
Absolutely, man.
Oh! Yeah. So why do you think they are back?
Because the departure of the Expos, and the reasons why they left, we understand it was more of a...
It's another time, hein?
It's another time, and...
Il n'y avait pas le partage des revenus. How do you say that in English?
Exactly, revenue sharing.
It was not like that at the time.
It wasn't like that at the time. You know, I have confidence in whoever is going to be putting this out there that they're going to find a great location for the... look, I'll tell you something. I spent the weekend, this last weekend in Toronto, okay? Toronto, downtown, I was staying downtown Toronto. There was a Jays game in the afternoon, and then at night there was the Leafs game.
I lived 2 years there.
That city was electric.
I know.
People, bars, everybody. And I don't want to say that Montreal deserves it. It's not a question of deserving. It's a question of the time is right now.
Yeah.
There's more disposable income available today than ever there was in our history.
Yeah.
And there's an appetite for the team, and we're going to get them back.
Yes.
We're going to get them back. 100%, man.
Do you think the Montreal Canadiens are going to make the playoff?
Of course they're going to make the playoffs. We're going to make a massive run for the
cup. You think they're going to make the playoff this year?
They will make the playoffs this year.
They're going to win one round, two rounds?
Oh, I think they're going to... My projection is going to make it to the Eastern Conference Final. They're going to be a big
surprise. Whoa, tabarnak. Yeah, he said no playoffs this year.
No, playoffs this year.
No playoffs.
Hey, man, they were what? 2 points out of a playoff.
Exactly my point. But they never... No new player.
Well, listen...
So how you can build something if you don't have new player?
Well, I think for 2 points, we could
put... You think Max Domi is going to be... good like last year?
No, but I think we have a better backup goalie this year.
Okay.
So we could go and get that game or two that we didn't get last year. So that's that extra 4 points. We're going to have Shea Weber from the beginning of the season healthy. Maybe a couple of more points there. the big question right now,
yeah,
in this team, the way I see it, and I'm not a super analytical person. I'm as passionate for the Montreal Canadiens as I am passionate for anything I'm passionate about. I believe.
You know what it is?
Yeah, of course, it's the Impact Man.
Impact Man. I saw the Impact from
the first time. My son did a few development camps with with the Impact. Yeah. And shout out Antonio, shout out Liliana, shout out Geneviève, because if I don't name them all, they're all
yeah, yeah.
What was I getting at? So the Canadiens going back. Yeah, so passion, yeah. I firmly believe, and the only thing that can either make it or break it, because you're right, most of the core remains, Jonathan Drouin has to step it up.
Exactly.
I don't even want to use the word step it up. He just has to get fixed, whatever is between his ears right now. He's got to get it fixed and just play hockey like the beast that he is.
Exactly. Have so much talent. But my point is, all the team in the same division find new player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I think we can compete, man.
And it's a small team. Look, think about that.
We're a tough team to play against. We're fast. We never stop.
Maybe in 2-3 years I will change, but I don't think this year. And you know what? You know the problem is, we have a discussion about make the playoff. Think about that. We are Montreal Canadiens.
Well, that's why
we're supposed to talk about the Stanley Cup.
No. That's why. For me, it's not even a question. It's not even a question.
You know what's happened if you don't make the playoff, huh? Price is gonna move. Bergeron is gonna be out. You know what I mean? You think Price is gonna stay there? Imagine if we don't have a good start.
Listen, nowadays you can't afford to have a bad game.
No.
It's so tight.
Yeah.
It's so tight. The league is so tight, you can't have a bad game. I love the spirit of this team. I love that they play as a team.
Yes.
I love the fact that
I was surprised that's here.
I love the fact that you could almost say on every line we have somebody who's gonna give it all. And that's what you need on every line. You just need that guy that's gonna lead by example, and the rest of the guys are just gonna do what they have to do. That's what I hope, man. That, ça sent la coupe?
No.
No. Oh, je vais être réaliste.
No coupe.
But
because they said we study the Blues. They suck for the first half of the season. They came back, and you know what? Everything is possible in the playoff. Calm down with that.
Yeah,
how many players they buy before the.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of changes that happen.
Not for the Montreal Canadiens. You know what I mean?
And the one thing, and if we're gonna end it off with this debate, because we could debate about it all day, is another reason. Okay, I guess we're both on the same page. Okay, maybe I see the glass half full and you see it half empty. Not to say that that's the wrong way of seeing. So me and you both, we all believe that
we all want to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I'm saying
I would love to make the playoffs.
If Shea Weber is healthy all season and he starts off already, that's a good.
Yeah,
we have a better backup goalie. That's a good.
We have the best goaler.
We have the best goaler in the world.
We have Brendan Gallagher.
Always. Now we just have to make this power play work.
Exactly. We had 28 last year.
I think if we don't answer this, then we're gonna have a big problem making the playoffs this year.
But me, I don't believe in the guy upstairs anymore.
You don't?
No, not anymore.
I do.
Yeah. Oh wow.
You know what I believe? You know why
I believe in you.
Yeah.
I believe in you, man.
You want to know my logic behind? Just. Okay. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But maybe I could help you change your mind. Okay. So I guess the type of work that I do, my 9-to-5, makes me look at things, especially as a sports fan, more on like the business side of it. And I have to believe that any owner, president of any company who is right-hand man is not doing good or not doing the right steps in the vision in which he has, this guy wouldn't last. So for that reason,
when you sign a good contract,
the guy
he signed in 2 years though.
What do you mean?
You can fire in this guy. See,
of course they can. They can fire these guys. No problem. They're gonna pay him off, and that's it.
They still pay Carbonneau and Michel Therrien in the payroll.
But what I'm trying to say is
it's the Yankees of hockey.
I know, but the reason what I'm trying to say is that I firmly believe that He's doing a good job. I think he's doing a good job.
No playoff in 4 years. One time in four.
But look at the prospects that we have.
It's not because of him.
Of course.
No, it's because we're so poor. We can see.
No, but we haven't. We've always been mediocre.
I know, but this is the problem. Yeah,
but
why we finish 10, 8
suck,
when you can
suck
for real to
suck good enough?
Yeah.
I know. But we just, it's not in our DNA.
I know.
And that's what's bad.
Yes.
Because if we sucked really good,
we will have maybe Connor McDavid.
Oh, Connor McDavid.
You know what I mean? Sidney Crosby at the time, you know?
Well, we only had the lottery then.
We got Galchenyuk was a superstar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have nothing.
But now, more than ever, we have a good pool of young talent.
I hope for. Let's talk about that in June.
Let's do that.
Who's going to... But I'm tired to... believe in something. Now I saw it's the same thing than last year.
Well,
and we did not make the playoff, so
yeah,
it's easy
but
for me.
Got some good young guys, some great talent.
Yeah, but I don't have time to watch 82 games for the talent. Let's see. I want the Stanley Cup tomorrow.
What the fuck else are you doing?
I
what else are you doing?
I'm watching NFL now.
Oh, okay, there you go.
It's more fun.
See, that's the thing is I only watch hockey.
Only hockey?
Hockey and a little bit of soccer. Yeah.
I thought you said that Magnet Mado.
No, I watch
hockey and porn. Man, thank you so
thank
much,
you,
man.
Thank
we
you.
Made it.
We did it. We did it.
I want you so badly because I always said to the people I invite, they are a human being, great human being,
yeah.
But you are real. I would love to be your friend in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think
that's going to be possible.
I know.
Appreciate it, though.
No, but you know what I mean? You're an amazing guy.
Thank you, brother. Thank
talented,
you.
Talented. Charismatic, and I hope I'm gonna have nothing to see a one man show. And
I'm
gonna be there for sure, man.
All right, but
let's go outside.
Let's go, man.
Finish the discussion about the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay, let's go.
They will not make the playoff, tabarnak.